Developer Diaries, where we get inside the hearts and minds of some of the people out there building the greatest applications for Windows Phone, Windows Phone 8, and Windows 8. And with me today is Andrew Garrison. Andrew, thank you for coming down.
Thanks for having
me. Inside the developer studio here. So tell me a little bit about yourself. Oh, well, first of all, what company are you with?
My company, I'm the only person there. The name of the company is Jundru, and I made the company to protect myself, you know, legally from being sued.
How did you come up with the name Jundru?
That was actually really hard to do, thinking of a name of a company. So if you're wanting to start your own company, start thinking of a name now, because it happens fast, and if you don't have a good name. Yeah, so it was a name that my brother's friend called me back when I was a kid.
Like Andrew or Jundru?
Yeah,
like,
he's making fun of me, but I'm sure he didn't imagine that someday I would actually turn that into the name of my company.
Well, you know, it's a unique name, so you probably had no problem getting, like, the domain.
Exactly, once, you know, get the domain registration, you know, it's available, okay, good.
Perfect.
That's my name.
All right, so you've got this company, the one-man company, and what does Jundru do?
Well, we make games for mobile platforms, mostly. We have one for Windows 8, too.
Okay.
Mainly I'm focusing on like engineering games in the puzzle genre. I know that you're a fan of the first-person shooters. You don't like the
I'm a fan
puzzle.
Of lots of different types of games.
But it's all about engineering and simulation. It kind of gives the user like a taste of what it's like to be an engineer. You know, I give them like a strict set of requirements, like you have to build a treehouse that can support these four children that each weigh 50 pounds. Build a structure that can do it. And make sure it's cheap, too. The cheaper it is, the better the player does.
Let me tell you something. If you were doing marketing for Jundru, you would need to hire a new marketer. Because I've played your games, and they're really fun. I don't think that you're doing them justice in the way you describe them. They sound a little dry, but they're actually really fun. I've played both your Dummy Defense game and Simple Physics, right?
Mm-hmm.
These are both games that... Are these the only games that Jundru has created?
Those are the only ones that are on Windows Phone 8 and Windows 8. I have some other games on iOS. I have Santa's Engineer, which is, it's very similar, engineering.
Santa? As in Santa Claus?
Santa's Engineer, yeah. Okay. You help Santa Claus make some stuff. Bridge Basher, which was the first one that I released. And that was the kind of one that they made me realize that people actually kind of liked that kind of game. So that's where I kind of built on that one.
Awesome. Now, you've been building games a long time. We talked a little bit beforehand. When did you start developing?
Well, I started back when I was in high school, about 15 years old. I got a book, Teach Yourself Game Programming in 21 Days by Andre Lamoth.
Really?
He was an awesome writer. But I did not learn how to program games in 21 days. It took
Less.
A lot longer. but I did make some games, and I actually realized that I liked making games more than I did playing games.
Really?
And my favorite game that I made was called Scorn. And I took a lot of elements from the games that I really liked back then, like Doom and Duke Nukem 3D. So I had, you know, rocket launchers, and I had teleporters where you can shoot a rocket through a teleporter.
These are the key essentials to a
exactly.
good shooter game.
Right.
Platformer game, whatever it is. So you've been in this business for quite some time.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. I took a hiatus for a while, but then I got back into it in college. And then out of college, I started working for Boeing, and I kind of got out of game programming. I worked on a flight simulator at Boeing for a while.
You did.
So that kind of, you know, satiated a little bit of that need, I guess. But then I started getting kind of dry there, because it was a lot of the old like legacy code was written in Fortran,
mm-hmm.
Which was not fun to work with. So I finally moved to another team, and they used a lot newer technologies. They wrote more like business applications, which sounds a lot more boring. But it actually was more fun to work on, because I got to use like .NET 3.5 and WPF and Silverlight and all these things that I had never worked with before. But then I kind of got the craving for game programming again, so I started working on games again when I was in that team.
Gotcha.
And that's when I wrote Bridge Basher. Bridge Basher came out, it did well, so I moved down to 4 days a week at Boeing. And then I started working on Simple Physics, and when it released, it did really well. It actually hit number 7 in the iOS charts. So that was really big, and then so I went down to 3 days a week at Boeing. You see the trend.
I see where you're going
And
here.
Then about a year later, when Dummy Defense was coming out, that's when I finally quit. It was last April, so I've been on my own for about a year now.
So you launched both games in iOS first, right?
Right.
And then you just have recently launched or released them into the Windows Phone Marketplace.
Exactly.
So let's talk about the difference between the two. What was your experience developing for iPhone, and then how does that port over to Windows Phone 8?
Well, with the iPhone, it was a learning curve for me. I didn't have a Mac at the time. I had a Dell, so I actually had to make a Hackintosh. Where you install OS X on it, if you make it work.
I've never heard that before. Yeah, totally going to use it.
It's painful, though. I really don't recommend it. If you're going to do iOS, just buy a Mac. Because I spent more time like maintaining it than I did actually writing code.
Gotcha.
But Objective-C is what I really don't like about iOS is Objective-C. And I've never really properly learned it. All my code is in C++.
In 21 days.
All my code is like C++. And then I have like 5% Objective, just enough to get it to work on the iPhone.
Gotcha.
So I avoid it when possible. And then on the on Windows Phone 8, Windows 8, I use 100% C++.
Got you. And now what about Visual Studio versus Xcode?
I'm definitely a big fan of Visual Studio. Actually, it's my favorite product from Microsoft.
Really?
It was Visual Studio 2012.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
So thank you, Visual Studio team, because I think you guys did an awesome job. The debugging and the IntelliSense are the biggest things, I guess. Like, there's, that's what I feel like Xcode, I feel like it's kind of laggy with debugging. It takes a little while to step through the code, and the debugging works most of the time, but sometimes it doesn't. It's frustrating. But Visual Studio, like, I felt a little nervous with Visual Studio and C++ a few years ago because I felt like maybe C++ was kind of going away and C# was kind of taking over.
Mm-hmm.
But then C++ has like been brought back like full force with 2012 with WinRT and stuff.
Yeah.
So you can like the breakpoints and the debugging is really solid now. IntelliSense is I think the best out of any product out there.
Wow, awesome. Now are you working on developing apps for WinRT or Win8?
Yeah. Well, I have the Simple Physics and Dummy Defense are written for on WinRT, and that was a little bit of a learning curve. The WinRT, there was the async stuff,
mm-hmm.
Which is really, which is good. Programmers should be writing asynchronous code. You shouldn't hang up the UI thread, but when you have working code and you just want to read a file and you can't because
right.
you have to do it asynchronously, so you have to change the flow of the whole program to read this 1 kilobyte file, you know, and that was frustrating. But I actually just kind of cheated, and I used old C methods that I guess kind of slipped under the radar. I don't know, but they worked. F-read and F-write and F-open, they all worked. But the biggest thing actually was OpenGL. There's no OpenGL on Windows,
mm-hmm.
so our Windows RT, Windows 8, Windows Phone 8. So I had to...
So there's a problem there.
Yes, that's
a
big problem.
Yeah, a little bit of a hurdle.
Yes. But I had seen this technique before where people make what's in like an OpenGL wrapper where it implements all the methods from OpenGL that you use, and really all it's doing is calling DirectX code behind the scenes. And so your code stays the same. You still think you're calling OpenGL, but you link with this other library and it does DirectX for you. So I did that, and it actually worked really well. I was surprised.
So is that something you got from like the community? Did you reach out to the developer community, message boards, forums, something like that, to figure out that sort of workaround, or how did you come up with it? You said you've seen it.
Yes, I've seen the technique before, and I looked. There were some existing wrappers, but none of them were for DirectX 11, the newest version of DirectX.
Uh-huh.
So I rolled my own, and it wasn't that hard because if you look at Simple Physics and Dummy Defense, they're not exactly really graphically intense. You know, they're two-dimensional.
Yeah.
Am I being a good marketer again?
Now you're even bashing your own game. Gosh, let's talk about the games because they're really fun. You call them, was it engineering games?
Yeah, that's the genre that I put them in.
The genre, which is kind of new. I mean, that's like, because when people call, you know, Angry Birds a physics game, right?
Right, yeah.
I mean, if you throw some pigs and birds into this game, you could have a global hit.
Yeah.
I do notice that it has a little bit of, is it your sense of humor there, where you talk about replacing small children with 50-pound bags?
I couldn't in my right mind put children falling from tree houses in the game. That just seemed like a really bad idea.
So how do you decide? So let's just describe the game. We'll show it a little bit. So you've got all these sort of dangerous situations, and you need to build various structures to protect your children or your dummy. In Dummy Defense, you actually upgraded to like a passenger driving car seat dummy. Take your experience developing these games. Would you have any sort of tips or warnings or words of wisdom that you would say to other developers looking to build engineering games or just games in general for Windows Phone?
Well, the OpenGL thing is definitely a big one. And I recommend doing the wrapper approach. If that works for you, then that's the way to go.
Right.
And I made a wrapper. I uploaded it to Coplex. It's called GL2DX. OpenGL to DX. Not a great name, but you can find it on Coplex.
It is. It's a great name.
Okay.
Come on. You're good enough. You're smart enough.
But I could talk about the marketing, actually, aspect of it, too. I think that a lot of indie game developers, they struggle with, you know, getting the game out there, and it doesn't do well. I'm not sure why.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that one of the tricks is give your stuff away for free for a little while, and then and keep in touch with your users and like mm-hmm. ask them, you know, in your game, say, do you want me to send you an email when I release my next game? Do you like my game, essentially? And keep in touch with those people. And when you make new products, and then the new ones you make, you can sell to those existing user base.
Sure, absolutely. Is that how you got a lot of your sort of feedback, or is that how you boosted your sales?
Exactly. Bridge Basher was one of my first games. It kind of did well. And I did some free app promotions with it, where I make it free for like a week or so.
Mm-hmm.
And then I actually got a ton of downloads while it was free. And then I switched it back to paid, and you get kind of a boost. But while it was free, I was asking people, you know, if you like this game,
yeah.
give me your email address, and I'll email you when I release my next one. And that really gave me a stepping stone or a way to launch my next Symbol Physics when it came out.
That's cool. So let's talk about sales. How are the Symbol Physics came out after? No, Dummy Defense came out after.
Right.
Okay, so how are they doing? How are they faring in the marketplace versus other marketplaces they're in?
They're still doing pretty good. Symbol Physics is still my bestseller. And comparing it across the different app stores, iOS is my number one. I've been there the longest. I have the biggest user base mm-hmm. on iOS. And Windows Phone actually, surprisingly, did really well. And I think it's second month. Symbol Physics got about 10% of total sales on Windows Phone. iOS got about 77%.
But it had been in the marketplace.
Yeah. It's been there for a while.
Gotcha.
And then Android, I have Google Play and Amazon, and they both together accounted for about 10%. I've had them on Android for about a year, year and a half.
What is the length of time it takes to develop on one platform versus another? Is any one platform just, you know, measurably easier or quicker?
I think they're pretty similar. I think I'm the fastest with the Microsoft stuff because I've been using Microsoft technology the longest. My least favorite is Android. you have to use Eclipse and you have to use Java, which I don't really, it's a good language. I just don't know it that well. And Eclipse, I feel like, is great. It's open source. It's a great product, but it's lagging behind Visual Studio and Xcode.
Right. Now, what about the accelerometer? Have you ever thought of incorporating that into one of your games?
I thought about maybe making like a earthquake test or something. You can shake it and, you know, the tree house shake and you can shake the kids. I don't know. I never did it, though. I don't know. I really don't think there's a...
Do you have kids?
I do. I have two kids.
Okay. Because your games are, you know, protecting children and then...
All right.
I thought you said something earlier about a children's game. You know, what do you have planned for the future?
Well, I really like one part of Symbol Physics and Dummy Defense, or really Symbol Physics, is that it's being used kind of in educational context. Like a professor of physics can show a simple concept, you know, just like a simple, really quickly, how something would react. So I really like that aspect of my game. So I want to get more into like the education part of it.
Any plans to develop apps for Windows 8?
Yeah, I think that Windows 8 is certainly going to be included in the next app that I make. I'm going to shoot for like one app a year, I think. One big app.
Right on.
None of my apps are that big, but...
I think they're great! Come on! What did you say is the difference? Just give me a one-liner for each, because I could sell it for you, but I'd want to hear you sell it. I'll jump in if you don't do it right.
Symbol Physics is a terrible, awful game.
You could come up with a little something, you know. I thought I was downloading this game, I'm like, oh, this is going to be terrible. And then I got into it, I'm like, this is really fun.
Oh, thanks. I don't know, to describe it, what Symbol Physics is.
Is it always tree houses? I haven't gotten very far in that particular game. So you're building tree houses. Do you later build other types of structures?
Oh, yeah, you design complex structures from everything from tree houses to submarines to skyscrapers and And there's a lot of stuff in there. It is kind of a neat game.
It's awesome.
And Dummy Defense, I think it's actually, I like Dummy Defense more. I think it's more fun. It's more silly too, I think, with the crash test dummy.
Yeah.
And later you have his arch nemesis, Kelvin, who you have to save Melvin, who's the yellow guy, the good
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you have to kill Kelvin, make sure he dies.
Yeah. See, I didn't get that far. I gotta get back there and play it. How did you decide how much money you get each level? Is it just like, this is how many steps I think you should be able to do it in?
I mean, I played him a lot. That was really tedious, trying to figure out, you know, what structures work and what don't. And I actually made an evolutionary solver where I would put in a structure that I thought looked okay, but didn't work. And then I would hit go, and then it would calculate, like, mutations of that and try each one of them and see how they did. And which one did the best, it would take it and then make mutations and then try, you know, so evolutionary algorithm.
That's cool.
And so that way I kind of automated that and didn't have to work about, you know, making all these different structures.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I think everyone out there needs to try out Simple Physics and Dummy Defense, no matter what he says. They're really, really fun games. And thank you so much for stopping by.
Thanks
this episode
for
of
me.
Developer Diaries. See you next time.